gonna do without our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Family Matters. MASC, Mothers and Fathers Alliance, Saving Kids. Kids of all ages and all stages in reference to all mental health issues, including addictions. And MASC offers referrals for inpatient, outpatient rehabs, for therapists all over the world. Wherever you may be, that somebody may need a referral for a therapist, feel free to call, whether it's a psychologist, a social worker, psychiatrist, doctors, whatever it may be in mental health or addictions, feel free to call the MASC confidential anonymous helpline at 718-758-0400. And I hope everyone had a very wonderful and joyous Purim today and that everyone gets home safe tonight. And good Yom Tov to everybody. And I'd like to welcome tonight with us a very dear friend and colleague, Rabbi Meir Kessler from the Jewish Recovery Center in Florida. Rabbi Kessler, good Yom Tov to you.
Good Yom Tov, good Yom Tov.
How are you? I know you just had an amazing retreat. I mean, you knock it out of the park every time, just gets better and better. And we're describing painful subjects, and yet I'm so happy that it is, you know, available to people that are struggling with the disease of addiction. So I know I sound excited coming out of Purim, winding down, but I want to talk about your last week recovery retreat for Jewish people that were, are suffering or are in recovery. And I want to say publicly a very special Yashar Koach for doing it, for really including the best speakers, the best 12-step people out there to facilitate groups, etc. Yashar Koach to you and your Rebbetzin.
Thank you so much. Thank you, really. It was an amazing weekend, and hopefully we'll be even bigger. When I say bigger, more people in recovery.
Exactly, and that's why we're having you on tonight. We're winding down from Purim, and I know on the MASC helpline, 22 years where he started, you know, 22 years ago, before Purim, I started the organization. We've had already over 50,000 families reach out, be it our groups, at our helpline referrals, our programs. And one thing we know, that people have shared over the years that one of their first drinks that they have had, underage drinking, was Purim or Simchas Torah. So I'm wondering if you get that as well. Do people share that at your retreats?
They do, yes, they do. They talk about their first experience talking about Purim. And even more so, and even more troubling, is that when people are trying to get better and they come to a Purim Seuda, they're compelled and encouraged, and there's a lot of peer pressure to drink. And that's, there's been a lot of stories where people have relapsed and have gone down a journey of destruction as a result of a drink on Purim.
Very painful. We know that Hatzalah is so busy every year on Purim. People drink, whether it's their first drink or they go to someone's home and they're offered drinks and they're not allowed to, they're in recovery. Lots of times it's very difficult, Purim, being around all the alcohol. It's a happy day, supposed to be a happy day, and for some it's a painful day. I would like you to please, you know, tell my listeners, what was the Jewish Recovery Retreat? It was your 8th year you're doing this. It was just now, March 15th, a week ago. I mean, it was amazing. The therapists, people there, everyone's talking about it. So can you elaborate so that people understand there is a group, there is a community to go to when struggling with this disease?
Right. So one of the goals that the Jewish Recovery Center has is to take the program of recovery, whether it's whatever 12-step fellowship one would be part of or any other program of recovery, to take it out of the basement and put it on a platform of availability and to try to destigmatize recovery. So for the last 8 years, we've been trying very hard to bring in the best speakers to provide a beautiful affair for people in recovery to celebrate recovery, because we know that staying stopped or long-term sobriety, the foundation of long-term sobriety is fellowship, is camaraderie, and having a group of people that are like-minded to talk about the issues and celebrate the issues. So when we have 293 people, adults, and there was about 50 youngsters with the children that came, so a total of 340-something odd people that come together in the spirit of a celebration, celebrating their brokenness, it's a beautiful, most spiritual weekend.
Rabbi Kessler, I know you do holidays and Shabbos dinners. People are welcome to come if they're in recovery. Where exactly do they go? Where is this all being done?
In Boca Raton, in the Chabad house in Boca Raton, under the auspices and the leadership of Rabbi Denberg, we run together our programs together.
Rabbi Kessler, the Jewish Recovery Center is committed to ensure that all Jews who are in need of recovery and to be given an opportunity to have some resources. I know people travel to different inpatient rehabs in Florida, and you, the rabbi of that area, you offer support and services to inpatient rehabs. I know you do have those Friday night meals. Where are these meals held?
So they're located in the Chabad house on Military Trail in Clinton Moore. We live in a place where there's many treatment centers around us, many treatment centers that people from all across the world come to. And over the years, over the last 14 years, we've developed relationships with these treatment centers. And they trust the work of the Jewish Recovery Center. So one of the things that we do, for example, is if there's somebody who's from that wants to keep Shabbos or Yom Tov, and the treatment centers feel that he or she is capable of spending it with us, we have sober homes with counselors that they can stay for us for Shabbos. And then, you know, if they're not safe to stay with us for Shabbos, they come out to Shabbos, or sometimes there are heterim to come to us. So we have every Friday night, I would say, about 100 people in recovery to come together and celebrate Shabbos in the context of recovery. For the Sober Seder, for example, that will happen next month, we have about 200 people that come together. Because as you said before, Rukamas, Purim could be a very painful experience for people who experienced Purim last year, drinking and partying, and today it could be perceived as a glum, downtrodden Purim. So we try to celebrate Purim in a sober way, with a lot of energy, and provide a healthy alternative to drinking on Purim.
So, what if someone's in an inpatient rehab and they cannot sleep over? Do they send the counselors with them just for the dinner Friday night?
There are times that happens. If it's, you know, there are heterim that Rabbi Twersky and others have given, but it really depends on every situation. There are times that we send food to the treatment centers. In general, they are stable enough to come. So I would say it's only, let's say, 5% at a time. Either they just came the first week and they want the youngster to acclimate to the treatment program, or there's something acute going on, but usually that doesn't happen. In general, they come. And we watch them for the weekend, and then they go back Matzah Shabbos to their respective treatment centers.
So let's talk about addictions, because there's so many, you know, from a parent point of view, parents call the MASK helpline, and they have to have their child, let's say, admitted to rehab. And it's hard sometimes for parents to see it as a disease. So how does the Jewish Recovery Center define it when speaking to parents?
Say that, I missed the last. How does the Jewish Center
define that it's a disease to parents when they call? Parents always want to know, is there kosher food? Is there, you know, so how do you sell the treatment to the parents?
Sure. Uh-huh.
When parents are very resistant, send them inpatient, they're scared they're not going to have kosher food, they're scared there won't be a rabbi around, et cetera.
Right. Well, first of all, it's more scary to have a youngster lay down on fentanyl or opiates or any other drug than being in a place that doesn't necessarily meet their spiritual standards. I, for one, or religious standards. I, for one, provide provisions and support and the ability to keep kashrus, the ability to keep Shabbos with the treatment centers that are around our vicinity. But it's a big problem, and I think it's a bigger problem that parents are more worried about the tuffel, about the secondary issue, than the primary issue is getting the best treatment for their youngsters. They shouldn't be approaching the treatment center if there is yahadus available. They should be approaching the treatment center as the best treatment available, and then we can bring Yahadis to them. So there's a lot of parents that want to go into a Jewish treatment center. There is value if the Jewish treatment center is a good treatment center, but if the Jewish treatment center is not necessarily a good good treatment center, but they're there because their Yahadis is going to be met or their religious needs are going to be met, maybe they will be met, but are they getting healthy from a psychological perspective, from an emotional perspective, from a psychiatric perspective, et cetera, et cetera. So defining addiction, I always tell parents, defining it as a disease, I always tell parents, you wouldn't be upset if somebody relapsed, comes out of remission and has cancer again. You wouldn't get upset at them. This is a disease, and it's to be treated as a disease, because at the end of the day, they don't want to do this. It's a very painful experience to be using when you don't want to use. But every morning they're resolute that they're not going to use, and they don't want to use, and it's destroying their lives, but they catch themselves using over and over and over again. It's a very, very painful experience. The parents get upset. Why are they using? Why can't they just stop? And they don't understand that they can't stop. If they could, they would, and they need the help to stop. It doesn't make them a worse person because they relapsed again. It just makes them more sick.
Yes, absolutely. And I do want to touch on the 12-step program that you're involved with, and you bring them in under that program. If you can just briefly speak about the benefits of and how they grow through the 12-step program. It keeps them connected.
Right. So basically, the 12-step program is a spiritual program. A program just break down into three overall concepts is admitting that they're powerless, and then working in themselves to become better people, and then helping others. That's basically the 12-step program. The point is, addiction, when you want to deal with addiction, some people think it's a physiological problem, that they're using substances, and if they would just stop using substances, that the body wouldn't need the substances, then the addiction would be over. And the truth is, that's not the truth, because if that would be the case, then every detox center in the world would be producing winners and producing sober people, but that's not the way it works. They can get the physiological component off, and then within a week, they're back to using again. And then some other people say it's a mental health issue, but if you ask psychiatrists, they'll tell you that it's much easier to treat a psychotic than an addict. An addict is much more difficult. If you continue to go, people say it's if they would have more willpower, then they would stop using, or it's a religious issue, they would just be more frum. I can't tell you how many people have taken on frumkeit like nobody's business, but they still fall prey to their drug of choice. So at the end of the day, as a process of elimination, the professionals and other and people in this field have realized that it's a spiritual malady, a malady where there's an uncomfortability of being. Of being yourself, and you need to be part of something greater than yourself. And this 12-step program is a humbling experience, a humbling program that allows, and which is really the more humbling you are, the more powerful you become, allows you to take upon yourself something greater than yourself, to be part of something greater, and you become more comfortable living your life where you don't need to substitute with other things. You become high on the program. You become more relaxed and more comfortable with the program. It's very hard to go through this in a 3-minute discussion.
Right.
It's a very intricate, detailed idea, which a lot of people don't even know how it works and why it works, but we do know that it does work.
Yes, we had Menachem Poznanski on some shows, and anybody that wants to listen to the show, previous shows, including about the 12 steps, you can go on to maskparents.org, and all our shows are listed there. So, Rabbi, you have two groups that came. You had a younger group and an older group, correct?
Yeah.
So how exactly did that work for our listeners to understand? How does it work to have two different age groups at the same retreat? At any time,
so,
do they join each other? Do you get offer mentoring? Do you have alumni? I'd like you to elaborate, please.
So we have we have alumni. We have people that have been in program for many, many years. We have newcomers that are just getting sober. And we have some groups that are broken down by age. We have some groups that are broken down by gender. And we have some collective groups where everybody comes together at the same time. And it's very beautiful to watch the cohesiveness and the camaraderie between the old-timers and the newcomers, where each one needs each other in the program. The newcomer needs to glean insight and hashpa'ah from the old-timer. And the old-timer needs to be able to give over. A lot of old timers come just so they can work with a new person. So the cohesiveness and the camaraderie between the age groups are a beautiful thing to watch.
And how difficult is it before your retreat? Do many people call up and they're hesitant to join? They don't want to be seen. They're embarrassed. They don't know if they'll run into their neighbor or relative.
Yes, we have a lot of that, and we encourage people to get over that fear, because anybody who comes has their own issues, and it's a very safe space. But you have a lot of hesitance, you know, people are coming for the first time, some people that are going through struggles as we speak, like dealing with their children that are out there using, or, you know, and they need support from an Al-Anon group, or need support from others that are other parents that have gone through the same thing. They don't want to come and show their face. But through, you know, gentle care and talking and assuring that their anonymity won't be compromised and their confidentiality won't be compromised, you know, ultimately, they'll come. They'll come reluctantly, but once they come, they realize that it's a safe space.
Well, it's the same with mass. They, you know, parents call and describe situations, and we let them know where the support groups are. And sometimes there are parents that are very hesitant, and we suggest to them, come, you don't have to talk. You could just sit in the group and listen. And let me tell you, once they come, they're hooked. Nobody deserves to go through anything alone. And we're all together, all the organizations, Klal Yisrael, just the general world today is working towards reducing stigma. And it's so important that we see the person, not their illness. And just by you having the Jewish recovery retreat is such a powerful place that courageous people can go to and share and get the support and the direction and meet new people that they never knew before, maybe even from their neighborhoods, maybe someone they did know or do know. It's so important to have a community where they can share their experiences and their struggles with whatever it is that they're struggling with, whether, you know, alcohol, drugs. Let's talk about alcohol. I mean, we're winding down. I hope everyone, again, I want to say, had a safe Purim today. And I just, there are people out there. What do you want to say to them if they did have their first drink today? What do you want to say to them? They're struggling. They may have underlying depression, Rabbi Kessler. They may have been bullied in school. They may have a trauma, whatever it may be, learning disabilities, problems at home. Mm-hmm. What do you want to say to them if they self-medicated by having access today?
So the question, So the question they should ask themselves and truly ask themselves as to why they were drinking. Truly why? Is it because there's some underlying issues that are making them feel a certain way and drinking becomes the antidote to feeling better? That would be a problem because a lot of people experience their first drink on Purim in the spirit of Adela Yada, in a spiritual quest, but realize something's completely different. They realize that the drink was actually an experience that's beyond Purim. It made them feel so much better. It made them feel alive again. And if that's the case, then we may have an issue. So you have to ask yourself when you drank, or you, now that you're done drinking, why did you drink or what did it do for you? And for a lot of people, the first drink that they had in Purim was the impetus for a life of destruction, a life of alcoholism. And if we can nip it in the bud, if you realize that the reason for your drink was to escape life, then you should call MASC or some other institutions that can help you. On the other hand, if it was just because it's a mitzvah and that's all, and you can go back to living your life normally, then you should have had a beautiful Purim and Leben Ibrayor.
Amen, amen. Rabbi Kessler, let's talk about the sober houses, the importance of when somebody comes out of, they're ready to, you know, transition out of an inpatient rehab, and the importance of having a step down, go into sober living before they go back home.
So the irony, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go on, I'm sorry.
The irony is that people pay hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars, or thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars, to go to treatment. And after treatment, they go into sober homes. And the truth is, there's more work that gets done in the sober homes than ever gets done in treatment, because the application of what you've learned in the treatment centers are applied at home. So there's a lot of ups and downs and ebbs and flows, but it's very important to have that break between between going home, going back to your normal life, and coming out of treatment to apply what you've learned in treatment in a safe environment, in an environment where other people are going through the same thing as you, in an environment where there is drug testing, in an environment where there's curfew, in an environment where it's controlled, where people will hold you into account. If people think that you're a little bit off, they would hold you into account. That's a very important process before you just go home without applying what you learned in life. And the application of what you learned in treatment is very difficult. There's a lot of ups and downs. And that's what we do in the sober home.
And one more thing I wanted to actually talk about is the nuances that every case, every family, there's so many different things that you have to take into consideration when actually deciding what rehab, what sober living, where they should go, which therapist. And that's one of MASC's specialties, is making sure that they're placed in the right environment, in the right hospital, rehab, or whatever it may be, therapist, because sometimes you don't get a lot of chances. I just want you to tell my listeners how important it is that people should not take referrals from friends, neighbors, and relatives if they're not in this field, because what is good and worked for one may not be the same for another. What are your feelings on that, please?
So my feelings are even further, that even from professionals in the field, you have to be wary, unfortunately. So you need to find upstanding institutions like MASC that can help. It's very, very important. We're dealing with life and death here, and every treatment center has a different niche and a different process and a different way of doing things. There's a lot of things that go into the equation when referring out to a treatment center. It's not like, it's even more important than the yeshiva the person's going to. The life is sitting on, on the line here. So there are different treatment centers that have different approaches for different people. There's a lot of equations, and I don't have the time to go through the variables when making a recommendation. Here at the Jewish Recovery Center, we make some recommendations as well. There's a process of an assessment and an evaluation that can take up to 3 hours to understand the ethos and the genesis and the source of the issue, and then find a proper treatment center that it's really like a shidduch of the highest level. So just because a friend went to a place and it worked, it doesn't mean not only could it not be good, it can be very bad. It was great for one person, it could be very bad for another person. So you need to leave it up to professionals who understand the treatment centers and have an understanding of the pathology of the person that's going to this treatment center to make sure it's a good shidduch.
Right. Well, thank you, Rabbi Kessler, so much for all that you do for the recovering addicts. And I'm so happy it was such a huge success. People left your program this past weekend, and they just got so much chizuk. So especially yash koach to you and to your Rebbetzin. And I just do want to mention that Chabad rabbis, shluchim all over the world, have the resources available to them at all the rehabs that are out there. They go in, they're there, they're available. Kosher food can be made available to many of these programs. So call MASC 718-758-0400. If you may know someone that wants to speak with Rabbi Kessler or needs a referral, feel free to give us a call. And I want to thank you again, Rabbi Kessler, for being on now tonight, winding down from Purim. And good luck to all of you and your program. Thank you. And now I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a wonderful Shabbos, and always remember, hang in, hold on, hug tight. Thank you, and have a good night.
Hi, my name is Yechezkel Moskowitz, and I'm going to be chairing this year's National Council of Israel Gala. I'm so excited about this year's dinner. We are going to be honoring the House Minority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, as well as Tommy Hicks Jr., the co-chairman of the Republican National Committee. The event will also feature Governor Mike Huckabee and be emceed by Pete Hegseth of Fox News. I support the National Council of Israel because I believe that it is incumbent on us to strengthen U.S.-Israel relationships. I feel that we must have a national organization that speaks up on issues that affects our futures and our principles, issues like the opioid crisis, child abuse, sanctity of life, and the future security of Israel. Now more than ever, I need the Jewish community to stand up, and you can join me. You can do so at www.yngi.srl/dinner, as well as 516-707-2638. Looking forward to seeing you there. And let's make the young Israel great again.
Not all addiction treatment programs are the same. Ignite Treatment Centers is specially designed to meet the needs of today's teens struggling with mental health and addiction issues in an atmosphere that's warm and family-oriented, while providing an on-site 24-hour support treatment team comprised of licensed therapists, psychiatrists, nurses, addiction specialists, counselors, educators, and experiential counselors and mentors. Of course, there's a chef, gym, pool, and even a music studio to help pave the way to success. Run by a Kibbutznik, Ignite Treatment Center is fully glatt kosher and specializes in the personal care you need for best results. When you need help, call 833-WE-NEED-HELP. That's 833-WE-NEED-HELP now. Online at ignitetreatment.com. Most insurances gladly accepted. Ignite Treatment Centers, uplifting teens, creating futures.